We're going to send this place out right. Amen. Amen. Next Sunday. Amen. Next Sunday, we're going to open up our new church there on Lakeland Drive. We couldn't be more excited about it, more elated about it. It's funny, we were talking in the back room, it's right over there. When you get in it and when you walk in it, you'll see it next Sunday. But it's just our next place. And I'm excited about it. And, you know, I've been in this facility as long as it's been established. And I was thinking about it this past week. Everything in my life has pretty much changed over throughout the years. I think even growing up from age 0 to 17, I went to lived in 4 different houses, went to 8 different schools. We had 22 different cars and 13 different dogs. We just couldn't find one that'd stick. So change was something that just was prevalent. But through in the midst of all that change, and even more change than that over the last several years in my life, this has been the one constant. So many wonderful memories, so many wonderful things have taken place, even before I came out, just praying in my back office there and remembering the times when I first started pastoring and just the inferiority I felt. And I can remember different spots in that room where I'd just lay out before the Lord before service and just ask Him for mercy to help me do what I was about to do. And then other times where just sheer victory, and you overcome things and you see triumph and success, and going back to that office and just getting on your knees and thanking God for every good thing that's in your life. And just the evolution that has taken place in my life and in this ministry over the last 10 years. It's just been absolutely phenomenal to see what the Lord has done. And so this morning, I'm not sad, I'm full of gratitude. I'm thankful for the Lord, as I said Wednesday night, for this place. I'm thankful for the Lord for the memories that we've had here, for the things that have been wrought and established. I'm thankful to the Lord for all the things I've experienced, for the opportunity to grow in ministry. I'm thankful for all the people we've had come through this place, and all the volunteers, and just so thankful. It's good to close a chapter. It's good to start a new one. And that's what we're doing. We're closing out this chapter today. We're starting a new one next Sunday. The latter is going to be far greater than the former. And that's why I'm excited, is God never decreases us. He moves us from glory to glory, from faith to faith. And so as good as this place has been, can you imagine how good the next place is going to be? Amen, because He only takes us up. Amen. Open up your Bibles to the book of Psalms this morning, Psalm 66. I had written out a message, actually typed it out, and it was going to be sentimental. And the top 3 things that I learned in this facility throughout the years. And, you know, it seemed good, and I was typing it out. And then finally, after I got done with it, I realized I was just having a good time of reflection. It had no anointing to it, no kick to it, no unction to share it. So we're just going to pick up where we left off last Sunday. But it does tie in, I guess, to have some sentimental value. Psalm 66, let's bow our heads as we approach the Word of God. Father, we come before You this morning. We thank You for Your Word. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And I thank You, Lord, You've helped me plenty of times before in the sanctuary, preach and teach it. But Father, I thank You this morning, You give me that same anointing, that You enable me to minister with the ability that You've given me, that You enable me to speak as the oracle of God. That Father, as I speak, I thank You that these people don't just hear me with their natural ears, but they hear Your voice in their heart. That Father, Your Spirit lingers and prompts them and I guess enables them to know exactly what steps they need to take, things they need to do, any adjustments they need to make, any corrections that need to be made. Father, I thank You that instruction is given. And Father, I thank You that as we leave this place, the Holy Spirit quickens to our heart everything that we've heard so that we can be doers of the Word and not hearers of it only. We thank You, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 66, we'll look here in verse 12. It says, Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire, and we went through water, But thou brought us out into a wealthy place. Thou brought us out into a wealthy place. There is a wealthy place for you. There's a wealthy place for me. That new building over there, that's our next wealthy place. Amen. My father sensed it years ago. Drove up to that property while there was nothing on it but trees. Just knew in his heart, this is where we're supposed to be. Well, it's a wealthy place. There's a wealthy place for you. There's a wealthy place for your children. There's a race that is set before you. Paul said, I've run my race. He had a race. I finished my course. He had a course. You have a race. You have a course. You have a wealthy place. Well, this word wealthy, it's very interesting. If you look it up in the Hebrew, the Old Testament's written in Hebrew, New Testament is written in Greek. If you look it up in the Hebrew, it means a lot of things. Naturally, it means material things. In fact, it means runneth over. But its prevalent meaning, its predominant meaning, is satisfaction. You've brought us into a place of satisfaction. One translation says, rich fullness. Another one says, abundant fulfillment. There is a place for you where there is rich fulfillment, where there is a satisfaction in your heart. I mean, you just look back and you know it's good. It's right. That's what we were talking about with our new facility, walking through it. And it's just good. It's right. You almost don't want to leave the place. Well, it's our wealthy place. But there's a place like that for you. There's a place where, I mean, everything in life, it just seems like it's right. And it doesn't mean that there's not issues, and it doesn't mean that things aren't coming up. But it's just, you know, in your heart, you're satisfied. I mean, it's just right. It's not bored. It's not you're frustrated. It's just clicking. You know it's right. Satisfied. Well, this word place, it's also very interesting. It means two things. The first thing it means is an actual physical place or location. There's a house that's right for you. There's a place, a job, a city, a state that's right for you. There's a school that's right for your children, preordained before time began, where they should go, what they should be. There's a place that's right, a natural physical location. And so there's that part of it. But then the second part means condition. So you got a location, but there's also a condition. And basically this word condition, it's dealing with the inward part of man. Basically, the scripture that came to mind when I read these definitions was over there in the book of Isaiah. The willing and the obedient eat the good of the land. It's not just one or the other, it's both. Willing and obedient. See, willing is dealing with the inward. Obedient is dealing with the outward. But it takes both to get over into the good of the land. Another scripture that came to mind was where the prophet was talking in the book of Isaiah. And he said, these people worship me with their hands and with their words, but their heart is far from me. So in the natural, everything in the physical, it's right. But the condition of the heart is off. Brother Hagin, you know, we've told this story quite often, but he was pastoring his last church, and everything was good in the natural, but in his heart, he knew something wasn't right. Basically, the brook was drying up, and he knew he'd been pastoring there for a season, and that was his wealthy place, but God was moving, and God moves. He'll move you. He'll position you. And so he could sense something's changing. And he sought the Lord on it. The Lord told him to go out into traveling ministry. Well, he did. He was obedient. In the natural, he was in the right place. He left the wrong place, got over into the right place. He was in the right physical location. He was doing the right physical things. But things weren't clicking. I mean, it just seemed like everything was going wrong versus going right. And so he took it up with the Lord. And he said, Lord, what is this? I know I'm doing what you told me to do. I'm in the right place. I'm in the right physical location. He said, I've been willing and obedient, but we're not eating the good of the land. My children aren't eating the good of the land. I'm not eating the good of the land. Our house, it's not the good of the land. Our cars, they're not the good of the land. Nothing about this is the good of the land. And the Lord spoke to his heart and said, the problem is you don't qualify. He said, you've been obedient, but you haven't been willing. Your heart still longs for that other place. And so he had to make that adjustment. See, his was not a physical adjustment, a change of address or a change of work. His was an inward adjustment. But when he made that inward adjustment, it lined up with that physical adjustment, and everything just turned around within a matter of months. Well, why? He's in his wealthy place. Your wealthy place is a place where there's satisfaction of heart and mind. Like I said, it's not just everything, just always roses, but you know it's right. You know it's good. It's fulfilling. It's fulfillment there. And it's not meaning that you're not striving after other things or are pursuing with faith after other things, but it's just everything is right. There's a place like that that's right for you. And if it's not, if things aren't that way, it's either one of two of those reasons. Either location, physical location, just in the wrong place, naturally. Or there's a condition of heart that needs tweaking. Just like you change a job in the natural, there's a change of heart that's needed. A change of opinion. See, we gave the story of that man last week in healing school who was called by God. He was in his 60s, but in his 20s, he knew in his heart he was supposed to be in Africa. But he never went to Africa. And I mean, life was just a struggle. Why? He wasn't in his wealthy place. See, his was a natural, physical place. Good man, good character. I mean, loving God, pursuing after the Lord. But he never got in his physical location. And because of that, he never experienced the fulfillment, the richness of life that God had for him. Well, on the other hand, there are people who are in the right place locationally, doing the right things locationally. But God's been dealing with them to make adjustments of heart, changes of heart, tweaking things in their heart. It could be strife, it could be unforgiveness, it could be sin, it could be any number of different things. But you know the changes that you need to make. Now, this is my next point. When you're in the wrong place, you know that you are. One, you can see it from natural things. See, when you're in the wrong place, either spiritually or physically, when you're in the wrong place, things happen to you that never should have happened. I'll give you an example. King David. You remember the story with Bathsheba? And people know he fell into sin then. But why did he fall into sin? It wasn't just lust. You know what the scripture says before all of that? It says it was a time when kings go out to battle, but David didn't go. It was a time where he should have been out at battle, should have been out with the troops, but he was in the wrong place. He was staying at home when he should have been out at war, and from that place he got bored. He went up to the top of his mountain, was over top of his castle overlooking, and then he saw Bathsheba. He never would have fell into that had he been in the right place. See, we go through things that we shouldn't go through when we're in the wrong place. So I'll put it to you this way, using the word we've been using for the last couple of weeks. When we're in the wrong place, we're over into pride and we're dealing with resistance. The right place, there's a flow to it. So that's the first way that you know. But the second way you know, because I've heard a lot of people talk to me about this and want counseling about this over the course of this series. Well, I just know something's wrong. I just don't know what it is. I want to be in the right place. I want to be there, but I don't know if this is right or this is... Friends, listen to me. Don't let your mind deceive you. You know. When you're in the right place and doing the right things, you know. I'm telling you, I saw some things this week through the Word and the Holy Spirit bringing some life to me. It changed my opinions on some things. And people are of the opinion that it's hard to hear from God. Well, you got other people who hear from God all the time. I mean, Pastor Joel saying the Lord told him this and the Lord told him that. And I just never hear from the Lord. Friends, you hear from the Lord a lot more than you know you do. And people have this idea that I just don't hear from the Lord. You do hear from the Lord. You do. I'll give you evidence. I'll give you evidence you hear from the Lord. Go over to Romans. Romans chapter 8. You know what? Before you go to Romans, stop at John. We'll see this in John. You know if you're in the right place. You can take the worst sinner. I mean someone who's just rank. I mean going out blatantly living for the devil. But if they're born again, you can't tell me in their heart they don't know what they're doing is wrong and they need to change. You can't tell. There are other people who are not born again, whose hearts are not alive unto Christ, who they don't know it's wrong. They don't know. Their spirit is not made alive. But if you've been born again, all things have passed away, all things have become new, and you know it's wrong because His Spirit's bearing witness with yours. John chapter 16. Look at this here. John chapter 16. And let's look at verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you. See how certain that is? It's not pray and hope He does. He will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Not He wants to, He will. Go back to John 10. John 10. I'm going to take you to a couple of scriptures here. Don't just believe me. Let's get evidence. John 10. And look here in verse 27. John 10 and verse 27. He says, "My sheep hear My voice. I know them and they follow Me." Notice the certainty. Not, "I wish they would." No, "My sheep hear My voice. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of the truth, has come, He will guide you." Go over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And let's look here in verse 12. Notice the certainty behind these scriptures. Romans chapter 8. Well, for the sake of time, we'll just pick up in verse 14. And watch this in Romans 8 and verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Notice this, the sons of God don't have to try to be led. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. No ifs, no ands, no buts. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Friends, none of these scriptures give any implication that's going to be hard for you to hear from God. Not one of them. Let's keep reading here in verse 16. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Not, "We wish He would." He bears witness with your spirit. Go over to 1 John. 1 John. We'll end with this one. "In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established." I'll give you four. 1 John. And let's look at chapter 2 and verse 20. And then on the screens, you can go to Colossians 3 and verse 15 in the Amplified. Colossians 3, verse 15 in the Amplified. And 1 John chapter 2, let's look here in verse 20. I can just quote it, but let me get over there. In verse 20, watch what it says here. "But you have an unction." Not, "I wish I could get an unction." Pray that you may have an unction. Believe and receive. Go down to the prayer line and ask for an unction. No, you have an unction. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and watch what this unction's doing. And you know all things. You know whether or not you should take that job. You know. Most of the time when people come down for counseling along those matters, they know what to do. They just want you to give them approval. They know. I've had people come down and ask, should I marry this person or should I not? Should I be in this relationship or should I not? And they know whether or not they should be. They just either want me to confirm what their heart is saying or to override it. But they know. They may not want to admit to themselves that they know, but they know. You have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. What does this word unction mean? Oh, I love preaching on it. It means a rubbing. Doesn't mean a voice. Doesn't mean hearing sounds. It's a rubbing on the inside. You know what to do. See, most of the time the Lord deals with you in yes or no. It's not a drawn out response. It's should I go over here and do this? No. Should I send that email? No. Should I respond to this person that way? No. Should I be in this place? No. Should I go over here and talk to this person? Yes. And he'll lead you with that unction. There's a rubbing. And you know what it is. Now, most of the time, because people haven't been trained and have gone to wrong churches, they're looking for the wrong things. Like Brother Hagin said, they're looking for the spectacular and all the while missing the supernatural. That rubbing is God getting your attention. He's trying to lead you. You're His son, you're His child, and you're being led by the Spirit of God. Now, whether you follow that leading or not is entirely up to you. But the Holy Spirit, when you get born again, He will guide you. Look here in Colossians 3 and verse 15. I love this in the Amplified. And let the peace, the soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule, act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with all finality all questions that arise in your minds. That's all we need to, but look at this. The peace of God is supposed to do something. It's to act as an umpire all the time in your heart, deciding and settling with finality. You don't need to ask people about it. You don't need to get five different opinions about it. That peace is the final authority. Settling with all finality all questions that arise in your mind. That peace or lack thereof is the unction. And friends, when you're in the right place, I mean, you know it, there's a peace. There's a satisfaction. But when you're not in the right place, you're not going to see that satisfaction outwardly. You're going to be seeing resistance. But also, on the inside, you know. There is a hesitation. There is a, something's not right. Something's not right. And it's God trying to lead you. And friends, if you're in that place, we have to learn to yield to it. I know I was listening to Brother Moore, and he was saying, you know, how he got over to Rhema was he saw a Word of Faith. It was their monthly publication. And on the front of it was the people walking down the aisle in the red robes. And he said when he saw that, there was, he used the word, flicker. Flicker in his heart. He had never heard of Rhema, but he saw that magazine, saw those red robes, and there was a flicker. I've heard a lot of people say that when they saw those red robes with Rhema. There was a flicker, just something that was leading them to that. I was thinking when I heard him say it, I've heard it multiple times, if I was Rhema, I'd do a Where's Waldo every time on the front of that cover. Look for the red robes. I mean, I'd have it, you know, everybody getting a witness when they see these red robes, there'd be a red robe on every cover. But anyway, he said, you know, there was a flicker. Then he said it turned into a linger. His heart just couldn't get away from it. Then it turned into his heart, I got to do this. I don't know how we're going to do it. I don't know where we're going to live. I don't know what jobs we're going to take. I just got to do this. Well, what is that? That's the Holy Spirit doing exactly what He said He'd do, leading you and guiding you into all truth. That's 1 John coming to pass. You're having an unction from the Holy One, and you know exactly what you should do. Well, what do you do when you get that? There's only one thing to do. Obey it. Only one good thing to do. There's some other things you could do. Specifically, not obeying it. There's only one thing to do if you're going to walk with God. That's make the move. Well, why don't people make the move? Well, one, they've lied to themselves and said, I don't know. No, we know. We know the changes we need to make. We know the things that we need to do. If we're born again, we know. But then the second thing is their flesh hesitates. It talks them out of it. See, Paul mentioned several times, well, in fact, over 20 times in the New Testament, the word conscience is used. Four times Paul said, I keep a clear or clean conscience. I'm keeping a clear or clean conscience. Well, conscience is the voice of your spirit. Reason's the voice of your mind. Feeling is the voice of your body. But conscience is the voice of your spirit. And he's saying, I've got to keep that clear, clean. Well, what's the opposite of clear and clean? Cluttered. Know someone who had a cluttered closet or a cluttered desk or a cluttered garage, and you go over and you're looking for something, and they'll say, I know exactly where it is. I know it's in here somewhere. But because it's not organized, because it's not straightened, they're moving things around. Where is it? What we're looking at? I know it's in here somewhere. And you can spend an hour there with them. I mean, by the time they find it, you could have gone to the store and bought what you were looking for. But they know it's there. I just can't quite put my finger on it. Well, see, that's how people live spiritually. The voice of the Lord is leading them through that unction, through that peace. But they've got so many other opinions, so many other things they want it to do, asking so many other people what they should do. Well, what would you do? Well, what would you do? And they're not letting that peace or lack thereof be the final authority, and it clutters them. And they know deep down something's not right, but they can't quite put their finger on it because there's so much other stuff cluttering it. You got to let that peace be the final authority. Well, people, they resist change. It's just part of our flesh. But there is a resistance to change. And that's why it sometimes is difficult for people to really walk out the plan of God. Because God is always telling us to make adjustments. And whenever those adjustments are made, it can be tough for our flesh and mind because those things get tied to things. They get tied to people. They get tied to locations. They get tied to habits. They get tied to ways of living and ways of thinking. I mean, people grew up in a house that was full of worry, 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 worry. Their mind gets tied to that. They come and start walking with the Lord, and He's dealing with them about that worry issue. Well, He's trying to get them over into that wealthy place, but their mind is so tied to it, they're trying to pull themselves away from it, but it gets difficult. Well, in the natural, people get tied to relationships they shouldn't be tied to, and God will deal with them, sever it, sever it, sever it, but it's difficult on their flesh because they've tied themselves to it. Or they get tied to places or locations or homes or ideas or way to doing things, and then God comes in and says, it's time to move. There needs to be a change. And people hesitate. And because they do, they never get over. Sometimes never get over into that wealthy place. I'll give you an example of this. Go over to Genesis chapter 12. Man, you guys are listening so good. Genesis chapter 12. Everyone say this. Say, I know exactly what I should do. Sometimes it's nothing. You know what I mean by that? I had a businessman. He took me around to a couple of different places. He was looking to expand his offices, his locations. And he was taking me around to some different places. You know, business was booming. And he took me to these different places and he was asking me what I thought. And in the natural, both of them looked like, man, that'd be a good place to build a business. But I just couldn't get any leading in my heart. So I said, you know, in the natural it looks good, but I can't say thus saith the Lord or anything. And I was praying a couple of days ago I was praying and the Lord said, tell him he'll know. And right now it's nothing. Don't do anything. Don't buy either place. Don't build either place. Stay exactly where you are. And so sometimes that witness is telling us to do nothing. Well, if he's telling you to do nothing and you have peace right where you are, don't try to do anything else. See, people get out of their place by trying to do too much. Genesis chapter 12. Let's look here in verse 1. And the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. Now, that's not easy. Don't just leave the city, the state. Get out of the country. Get away from all your kinfolk and from your daddy's house. And get into a land that I will show you. Now, he didn't show him then because God leads in steps. But Abraham knew. He knew then, I need to do these things. I need to get out of this place. I need to leave my kinfolks behind. I need to get out from under my father's house. He knew to do those things. He didn't know all the other details, but he knew that. So what did he do? He did exactly what God told him to do. Why don't people do that? Because it's hard on their flesh. Submission is not easy. It's not easy. I don't care what anybody tells you. Submission is not easy. I heard one person, oh my goodness, I'm almost out of time. I heard this one person, they came up and said, you know, I submit to my husband on everything. But this on one thing, we just disagree and I cannot do that. And I said, you haven't been walking in submission, you've been walking in agreement. Submission is when you disagree, you lay down your will to pick up theirs. Submission is not we see eye to eye and so we just, that's agreement. Submission is when I see this differently, but I'm going to retire from my will and pick up yours. And there ain't nothing easy about that. So Abraham yielded to God. He submitted to him. He's walking with him. And watch what happens here in verse 6. And Abram passed through. Everyone say pass through. Why would you pass through? No witness. Unto the land, unto this place. That place. And unto the plain of Moriah. And the Canaanite was then in the land. Watch this in verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. So Abraham was in a certain place. And the Lord says, I'm going to give you this place. I'm going to give it to you. But here's what's interesting. He didn't give it to him then. See, there's timing issues. And it would have been real easy for Abram said, God's going to give me this place. Let's do this. But God was saying, I'm going to give it to you. But there was still a timing issue. Abraham still had to follow the Lord to get back to that place. And watch what happens. Abram, in verse 7, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, this specific land. And there he built an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed, meaning he left, from thence unto a mountain unto the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Verse 9, and Abraham journeyed, going on still towards the south. And there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt. Now, what did God tell him over in verse 1? Keep going unto the place that I show thee. So Abraham still is, he's being led. And in every place where Abraham gets, there's blessings there. He goes down to Egypt, gets blessings there. He comes out of Egypt, a very wealthy man. And we see this in chapter 13. And it said, and Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, silver, and gold, so the Lord's blessing him. But we see that strife arise between Abraham and Lot, and he tells Lot in verse 11 to pick out a place. And Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other, and Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. Remember the place where God appeared to him? It was the land of the Canaanite. So Abraham has made a full circle right back to the place that God said he would give him. And watch this in verse 12. And Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and thy seed forever. Why was God blessing Abraham like that? He got in the right place. He got in the right place. There is a wealthy place. And you pass through everything else to get over into obedience of God. No matter what happens to your flesh or your mind, you follow that inward witness. You follow that unction. You have it. Follow it. Yield over to it. Retire from your way. Get over to God's way. And friend, I'm telling you, you will walk in a satisfaction and a fullness that is beyond anything you can comprehend. I'm telling you, I've been there. I've been in it. I'm in it now. We're moving to our next wealthy place. But friend, I'm telling you, it's unlike anything I can put into words. It is satisfaction and peace and fullness and richness. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about everything. Just life in general. Just a rich life. A full life. Why? In the right place. Abraham.